And while you do that, I'd like to hear from you as well. If you are at varsity for the first time now, with the campus life back in full swing, transitioning from high school to varsity can be a rather exciting but challenging experience for many first-year students. Think about this. If you go back to school and perhaps you were the head girl or head boy, or perhaps you had your honors blazer, or you were six distinctions, and then, of course, you go off to varsity and, well, nobody knows you. Nobody knows your name. You're not at the top of the pile anymore. Now you're at the bottom of the pile. So what we thought we would do is speak to some of the experts about what exactly people are doing to cope with this and how students are finding it. On the line is Atalisha Harilal, who's the head of student recruitment and marketing on the JSE listed company. I just need to get the name of it. Stadio. Stadio is the company. Atalisha, hi. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
All right. Tell us, how difficult is it to go from, say, high school, to go from a trick all the way over to go to varsity? Are students still battling today?
You know, previously it was a huge topic of conversation, and I think it should be one even more so post the issues of learning remotely during COVID. I think students now face the double challenge of moving from the expectations of the secondary school environment to the tertiary education environment. But further than that, they also are dealing with coming back onto on-campus learning from learning remotely during the period of the lockdown. So it's doubly a challenge, and it's something that they're having to deal with and grapple with daily.
Yeah, it's very difficult, isn't it? And of course, there's also another element, and that's when you go to varsity, there's been fees must fall. There have been protests, people wanting not to pay the registration costs. There's been historic debt. But perhaps you're going to that varsity for the first time. It's a whole new world for you, and everybody's protesting. There's that element as well, isn't there?
There is as well. I think we often need to consider that with a different lens. There's a lot of activism, and students can participate or not participate. This is key. But besides that, there's an element of disruption which they need to consider. And how do they continue their learning under such circumstances?
What are some of the tips that you perhaps have for students who are battling a little bit now? They've gone from being school pupils, like I said, they're now students. What are some of the tips that they can perhaps follow?
I think the first and most important tip is that of time management. It's where are you and what do you need to do? I think when you're at school, you have the additional gift of actually having your entire day managed, having people who will go look at your homework and say, oh, you have to do this, sit and do this assignment. Whereas when you're at university, due to the circumstances, people often find that they don't attend the lectures when they should, or they start assignments the day before the assignments are due and, you know, race in at the 12 o'clock before the submission deadline comes through. And it is key that time management is learned, because that's a life skill that's going to allow you to succeed even in the world of work. So managing your time without external motivation from anybody. There's often the transition from living at home with your parents to living on rares, or perhaps in digs surrounded by other colleagues. And there's often that temptation that, oh, I'm out in the world, let me just enjoy my life. But it's key to understand that university presents you with a unique opportunity. And now that the gate has opened and you're in and you're studying, how do you get yourself through that journey in as little a time as possible, enjoy maximum success? That's not to say you can't enjoy student life, but that's about finding the balance between student life, being independent in your new res, but also making sure that you meet your academic commitments.
Should they perhaps then teach self-discipline at schools? Because you're right in what you're saying. All of a sudden, it's a Wednesday night and you're supposed to be studying, but someone down the hallway is having this big party and the beer's free and everything's great, the music's flowing. Perhaps this has to be installed in people at school, that this is coming and you just need to know what's on its way.
Absolutely. I think, it's something that the school must address, but I think also important for us as parents to consider what are the life skills that a child needs? And often we find, you know, parents are fearful of allowing students to enter this new life because there's often in the back of their mind ideas play, what happens if they don't study? What happens if they don't attend? But how do we make sure that we allow them to learn about time management, accountability, responsibility whilst they're still at home in their home life? How do we give them the sense of independence and how do we assist them? So I think while schools and the ALO curriculum can take some off that burden, it's also important that during preparation years, when they enter into secondary school, parents also consider how to build a resilient, self-managing young person and empower them to be successful in the real world when they get there.
You know, it's very difficult being young these days. A lot of parents make the mistake thinking, well, you're young, you've got nothing to worry about, everything's paid for, you don't have a job yet, it's fine. But it's not fine because you also have the aspect of you've got to pass, and a massive amount of expectation is in place on a school, on a student after they've left school. What should parents then be doing with their children when it comes to that, when it comes to saying, right, you're going to be studying for medicine, but it's okay if you don't pass?
Oh, I think, you know, it's a knife edge of a balance because you find two types of parents. There's those who are, you know, really involved and place an inordinate amount of pressure on the student, which then in turn leads to them experiencing anxiety, you know, disappointment in their academic journey and really not being able to embrace the challenge as well as the rewards of being in this new environment of learning. And then you get some parents who are not involved at all, and the student then ends up repeating a good few modules over a semester. And I think the important thing is to walk a balance between that. Do not make academic achievement the only thing that matters in the entire holistic development of this human being who's discovering themselves and is on the cusp of entering into their career. But at the same time, let there be an understanding that there is a sense of accountability for your performance and your delivery in the career you have chosen, which starts the moment you sit in that first-year classroom.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've heard of students who have, say, for instance, been studying engineering, and it's taken them like 9 years for a four-year course or degree. At what point should varsities perhaps speak to students to say to them, listen, you've made a bit of a mistake here. Perhaps this career is not for you. Perhaps you should try something else.
Look, I think it's important to consider student success and offer them a safety net. And I think that is something tertiary education holistically needs to consider. And I can say, for example, at Stadio, we do help students. If we see they struggle with time management, there's interventions in place to help them with workshops, with mentors that allow them to be guided through, you know, the Center for Student Success. And I think tertiary education institutions need to realize, you know, some of these young people are 17, finishing their matric, entering into tertiary. Legally, they can't drive a motor vehicle, but we're saying, here, take the wheel on your life and make yourself a success. And yeah, we need to understand that they do need those guides. They need someone who is there to say, I see you experiencing this problem, and this is where the issue of student support, student mentorship, and allowing them to find the revisionary action quicker rather than later is so important.
Yeah, because that's also that volume of work is absolutely massive. Look, school was as well, and of course matric, when you're studying in matric, you've got to cram everything in. But when you go and you do something like a degree, sometimes the first year is okay, but when you hit that second year, your whole life changes, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think this is so often what happens is the volume of work and the amount of independent work required is often underestimated. It's not so easy as if I go to every lecture, then I'm going to succeed. That is part of it, step one. But step two is, have you done the readings? Did you go to the library? Have you read the papers? So the volume of work is something that requires development of that internal ability to manage your workflow, prioritize work, etc., which some, you know, some people working at large corporations haven't mastered as yet. So that is something that is key when we need to consider when we look at overall student ability and performance. And I think what's important is the volume at work at school is mitigated by the presence of a teacher who not only teaches, but also compartmentalizes it by sections, provides you with insight on what is key to retain for exams and what is not, essentially helping you to prepare for the assessment of learning. Whereas in tertiary education, you expected to apply your discretion to prepare for the assessment of your learning. So that is where upskilling students, and again, putting that safety net of student support in place to help them to successfully complete their tertiary education.
Yeah. And then just finally, the financial aspect. So that's the help you're getting from others, from your mentors. But financially, NASFAS, is it enough? I see so many youngsters who want to go and study, but there must be nothing worse than going out and studying and then all of a sudden your parents can't pay or NASFAS isn't enough. Are you seeing this on the increase?
I think we're seeing it on the increase everywhere. It is, to me, one of the most heartbreaking aspects when the student has all the abilities and everything and cannot still access studies. And I think that's where alternative funding opportunities come into play, and institutions must look to informing students of how they can receive funding alternative to NASFAS and how they can complete their qualification. And I think more importantly for students is the ability to always look for another road for you to reach your destination. So this may not work. What can I do? Can I study via distance learning, which is considerably a little bit more affordable? Can I look at other options to get myself to complete this qualification?
Yeah, it's so interesting. Atalisha Harilal, who's the head of student recruitment and marketing at the JSE listed education provider Stadio. Thanks for so much for coming on to the program this afternoon. It reminds me, when I was studying, it's like I had to work as well. You're waitering at the same time. You're trying to get money together for petrol to get to varsity. There's so many challenges that come together. Are you working at the moment? Are you working at a restaurant? Are you working, I don't know, maybe at night doing something? I'd like to hear your story. Perhaps you're paying for your own studies and you're getting yourself through. Maybe if you give us some suggestions and we put it out to 702 Land, it'll give other people some ideas. We'd like to hear from you.